بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. We have reached the seventh bab in Kitab al-Riqaq of Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is something of a long chapter, and there are several hadith here, and they're quite long, some of them. So I think we're going to split this into two sections, one today and one tomorrow, inshallah. And we have 30 sections we're covering on Ramadan, so we'll catch up by adding a little more later. So the title of this bab is Bab Ma Yuhdharu Min Zahrati Dunya Wa Tanafusi Fiha. This is the chapter on the warning regarding worldly pleasures and amusements and competing against each other in these matters. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that there should be some competition between the believers. What competition is that though? It is competition in seeking the pleasure of Allah ta'ala and His forgiveness. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah tells us to race each other in seeking Allah's forgiveness and to compete in earning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. This chapter is a sampling of certain hadith in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns us against another form of competition, which is competing in amassing the goods of the world. So we begin with the first hadith in this chapter. Imam al-Bukhari says, حدثنا إسماعيل ابن عبد الله قال حدثني إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم ابن عقبة عن موسى ابن عقبة قال ابن شهاب حدثني عروة ابن الزبير أن المسور ابن مخرمة أخبره أن عمر ابن عوف وهو حريف لبني عامر بن لؤي كان شهد بدرا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث أبا عبيدة بن الجراح إلى البحرين يأتي بجزيتها، وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو صالح أهل البحرين وأمر عليهم العلاء بن الحضرمي، فقدم أبو عبيدة بمال من البحرين، فسمعت الأنصار بقدومه فوافقت صلاة الصبح مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلما انصرف تعرضوا له، فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رآهم وقال: أظنكم سمعتم بقدوم أبي عبيدة وإنه جاء بشيء قالوا: أجل يا رسول الله. قال: فأبشروا وأملوا ما يسركم، فوالله ما الفقر أخشى عليكم، ولكن أخشى عليكم أن تبسط عليكم الدنيا كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم، فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها، وتلهيكم كما ألهتهم. So this is a long hadith, and this comes ultimately from Amr ibn Auf, who was an affiliate or an ally of the tribe of Banu Amr ibn Lu'ay, and he was among those who witnessed the Battle of Badr. So he's relating this story, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah to Bahrain to collect the jizya tax. So this is much later on in the history of Islam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had concluded a peace treaty with the people of Bahrain and appointed Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami as their chief. Abu Ubaidah arrived in Medina from Bahrain with the money that was collected from the jizya, and the Ansar heard of Abu Ubaidah's arrival, which coincided with the Fajr prayer led by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the prayer, they came to him, and he smiled when he saw them and said, "I think you have heard of the arrival of Abu Ubaidah and that he has brought something." They said, "Indeed, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "You should have the good news in hope for what will please you. By Allah, poverty is not what I fear for you, but I am afraid that worldly wealth will be given to you in abundance, as it was given to those nations before you, and you will start competing with each other for it, as the previous nations competed for it, and then it will divert you from good, as it diverted them. So the shahid here in the hadith is the expression of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he talks about what exactly he fears the most for the ummah. This fear of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was because he knew that the dunya would soon open up for the ummah. At this time, it was not yet clear for the Muslims that that's going to be the reality. When you look at all of the narrations in the seerah that describe hunger, that describe how people would be lying out on the in the masjid out of hunger, or where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even tie two stones around his stomach out of hunger. All of those narrations are narrations from the Medinan period. Because after the hijrah, they had to build up a society, and there were economic pressures. There was a good deal of hunger. The world was not yet opened for the Muslims. And it wasn't clear that that's going to be the case. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is expressing this fear because Allah has revealed to him that the Muslims indeed will spread beyond Arabia, and in their expansion, the world will be opened up to them. And in some narrations, he even gave that promise to individual sahaba, such as Suraqah bin Malik, to whom he promised the bracelets of the Kisra, right? So he noticed in the Arabic here, he doesn't say, أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. He actually says, he puts the word, the maf'ul muqaddam, he puts it in the beginning, negating it, saying, it's not poverty that I fear for you. Notice the subtle difference in Arabic and in English. The difference between saying, it is not poverty that I fear for you, versus, I am not afraid of poverty for you. Right? There's a subtle difference here. Because when you put the maf'ul in the beginning, you're actually emphasizing that thing you're afraid of. Right? A basic example in Arabic. You could say, ضربت زيدًا. I hit Zayd. Right? If you wanted to emphasize that it was Zayd and not someone else, or you want to emphasize the fact that you hit him, you would say, زيدًا ضربته. Right? So by saying, it is not poverty that I fear, instead of, I am not afraid of poverty for you, he's emphasizing that he's not really afraid that the Muslims are going to suffer from poverty. That's not the greatest worry of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his ummah will suffer from material loss, that they will suffer poverty. His fear, he says, is that they will have the dunya opened up for them, and then they will compete therein and be destroyed and distracted as the previous nations were. Now, when he says faqr, another Arabic point, he says al-faqr, right? Alif and lam. What is the difference between faqran and al-faqr here? The ulama say that the alif and lam here is for ahad, meaning it's not the poverty that you have experienced, al-ma'hud, it's not the poverty that you are familiar with, that we are familiar with, that we have endured, the past state of poverty and need. That's not what I fear for you as an ummah, because here you are, you have endured it, and your iman is strong. What I fear is that the world is opened up for you, and you become distracted as a result. The ulama mentioned that this hadith is from A'lam al-Nubuwa, is from the signs of prophethood, because at that time, the world was not yet open for the Muslims. Okay, he's expressing his fear that that would be the case and it would cause issues within the ummah. Imam Ibn al-Battal also notes, and he's an early commentator on Sahih al-Bukhari, he notes that this hadith shows that if the world is open for you, whether you're a sahabi or otherwise, up until today and onwards, if the world is open for you, you have to be on guard. And that goes back to the title chapter, where the title of this chapter, ما يحذر من زهرة الدنيا والتنافس فيها, what is warned against regarding the adornments of the world. So if you're on guard and it's open for you, you use it properly and you're wary and you're aware of the dangers, right? It doesn't mean that if the world is open for you, you have to throw it away. But history shows that this was the reality. And we see a number of narrations from the Sahaba who lived into that second generation as the world was opened. We have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he has this linen cloth and he's wiping his mouth with it from a meal. And he's saying, Bakhin, Bakhin. He's thinking about the past when they barely had enough to even cover themselves. And here they are with some fancy cloth they're using to wipe their mouths. And then he says, I don't think that the current state that we're in, what we have been given and what has been opened for us, is better than what we were in before, in the previous state, even though we were suffering. Because that distraction, that opening of the world leads to distraction. It leads to a loss of one's drive and purpose. And we see that in Islamic history, don't we? And we see in that period, as the borders of the Islamic lands expanded through Sham and through Persia and beyond, and as the riches of the world came into the Muslim lands through jizya and other means, that it did become a struggle, right? And we see that not only in the way people were engaging in the dunya, but even in the art, right? Go look up the art forms in the early Umayyad period, and you see there's a lot of crass and gaudy art because people were just buying all the stuff from the room, you know, and putting it in their houses, or hiring this or that Rumi person to make a fresco with some strange looking, you know, dog and person on the wall. It was a very strange period. And after that period, you saw this pushback where many of the imams and many of the ulama and the sulaha, they pushed back against that, kind of going into an opposite direction of encouraging zuhud in the world as a counter response to the opening of the dunya that did cause people to forget a lot of the values ethics that caused the Islamic lands to expand before that. So inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. We'll read a couple of hadith in this chapter and finish it up. And we'll catch up in the coming days with the other chapters, inshallah. والحمد لله رب العالمين.